Hello, everyone, and welcome to our online service this Sunday morning. My name is Tim, and I'm one of the pastors here at Enfield Town Community Church. Now, despite not being able to gather in this building this morning, this is still a great chance, a great opportunity for us to hear what God's Word has to say to us today. If someone's invited you to watch online this morning, or you've seen an advert and you're here, let me just explain a little bit about what you can expect over the next hour or so. During our time, we're going to be opening up God's Word, the Bible. We'll be singing some songs about truths that we believe to be true about God. And we'll also be praying to God, bringing the many needs of our world and our nation to Him at this time. Over the course of this service, we'll also be answering that question which has been raised online this week. What difference does it make to be a follower of the Lord Jesus during the time like the coronavirus? Perhaps you're a Christian today and you're watching on, or perhaps you're not. Either way, we really hope that you will value this service and you'll be very encouraged through it. Now, as we begin, we're going to sing a song called Savior of the World. This song focuses in on the Lord Jesus as the Savior that we all need and the Savior that we can all have if we turn to Him. So please sit, stand, whatever you're most comfortable doing, or just simply listen to the words as they're sung.
God so loved that He gave His Son to lay down His life for the sake of us. He bore the weight of our sin and shame with a cry. He said, "It is finished." Christ the Lord overcame the darkness. He's alive. Death has been defeated, for He made us a way by which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for His fame and renown. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world.
Let me lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, this morning we again want to recognize the brokenness of our world, especially with the impact of the coronavirus. Lord, we're sad that we can't gather together in this building or even meet with close friends and family in homes. Lord, it's hard. And yet we also want to recognize our brokenness. our guilt, our sin, our messy lives and damaged relationships. Please forgive us. Heavenly Father, please use this time now to encourage us, to help us see above the mess of our world and see the reality that you really are in control of all that happens in it. As we have just sung, we thank you so much that you made us and that you love us, and that you love us enough that you made a way through Jesus to save us from our sin. Please, would you teach us more about Jesus this morning during our time? Lord, hear our prayer, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we normally at this point go over to Glenn's shed, and that's exactly what we're going to do, and hear him teach us more about Jesus.
Hey guys, I hope you are doing well. For you who don't know me, my name's Glenn, and I'm one of the pastors at Enfield, and this is Steve. Say hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Say hello back, boys and girls. Ah, excellent, and welcome to our shed.
I really like our shed.
Yeah, I like our shed too, Steve. And this morning, we're going to learn some excellent, exciting truth about Jesus, but I'm going to need your help on this one. So please, can you go grab me a piece of paper? This is an A4 piece of paper. It doesn't have to be new. This is actually a scrap piece of paper. But if you grab a piece of paper about this size, this will help us this morning to learn about Jesus. So go. I'll give you a bit of time to go and grab a piece of paper.
Glenn?
Oh, yes, Steve.
I've always wanted most in the world to be a singer.
You always wanted most in the world to be a singer.
Yeah. So can I do some singing now?
Well, I guess whilst we're waiting for the boys and girls, you could do some singing.
And I really want to sing my favourite song.
Okay. Well, why don't you sing your favourite song whilst we wait for the boys to go and get their stuff?
Really?
Yeah, go on then. Steve, is that your singing voice?
Yeah, why?
Doesn't sound anything like your talking voice.
Does it? I thought it sounded exactly the same. Let me carry on singing.
Let it go! Let it go! Can't hold me back anymore! I can't stop! No, that's it. That's it, Steve. That's it. That's all. That's all we're going to have.
Oh, did you like it?
It was all right. It was all right.
I really want to be a singer most in the world.
Well, that's really interesting because we are going to have a look at what Jesus wanted most in the world. Do you want most to be a singer? I wanted when I was little most to be a footballer. Well, why don't we have a look at what Jesus wanted most. And the Bible tells us all about that. And so what I want you to do is to grab your piece of paper, and we're going to do a bit of folding. What I want you to do is to fold this shorter end at the top so that it comes down here. So do you see? Folding that down. So it makes a corner there like that. So fold it down like that. Hope you've all folded your piece of paper so that it's down like that. Have you got that? Brilliant. And you see what we've made here? We've made a sailboat. Do you see that with the sail at the top? It looks a bit like a sailboat. And is that what Jesus wanted most? Did he want a fancy boat? Like this one, look at this one. This is called the History Supreme. It's a gold-plated super yacht worth about £3.5 billion. Is that what Jesus wanted most? Well, the Bible tells us no, he didn't. That's not what he wanted most. But let's keep on folding then. So on this bit that you've just folded that over, fold this corner over again so it joins down to there. Make sure you fold it over the other bit like that, and so you end up with something that looks a bit like a house. You see that? It looks a bit like a house, doesn't it? Is that what Jesus wanted most? Have a look at this house. This is one of the largest houses in the world. It's actually a palace. And it's called the Palace of the Parliament in Romania. That's huge, isn't it? Is that what Jesus wanted most? A big, fancy house? Well, the answer is no, that's not what he wanted. So let's carry on with our folding. So with the bit that you just folded over, I want you to fold that in half now with the flappy bits on the outside. So fold that in half like that. So it's like that. And then fold these bits over. So you guessed it. So it looks a bit like an aeroplane. Keep on folding, keep on folding. So it looks a bit like an aeroplane. Can you see that? Woo! Yep. So it looks a bit like an aeroplane. And here is the most famous aeroplane of them all, Air Force One. It's the plane that the American president flies around in. It's very big, famous, and expensive, and he needs an aeroplane because he's so important and busy, he needs to fly everywhere. Is that the case with Jesus? Is that what he wanted most, to own an aeroplane, to be that important? Well, no, that is not what he wanted most. So one last one. What we're going to do is we're going to tear off the wings. So let's tear off the wings here, which is a very bad thing to do with an aeroplane normally. But you'll see where we're going in a second. Tear off the wings. You might need an adult to give you a quick hand on this one. And here we go. You see, it looks a bit like a rocket now. Can you see that? And look at this. This is the Space Shuttle program, which cost about £160 billion to send people into space. Is that what Jesus wanted most? To fly among the stars, to experience zero gravity, to be rich enough to do that? Is that what he wanted most? Well, the Bible says no. What did Jesus want most? Well, can I get you to unfold your piece of paper? What did Jesus want most? From the beginning of his ministry right to the end, Jesus wanted to die on the cross. Now that sounds really weird, doesn't it? Surely no one wants to die, especially a painful death like on the cross. Why would the most famous person in all history want to die on the cross? Well, it's because when Jesus died on the cross, he was paying a cost, a great cost, paying a cost for us. Not the cost for a boat or a house or an aeroplane or a rocket, but paying the cost for us so that we could go to heaven. He wanted to die because he wanted us in heaven with him forever. And that's amazing news. But that is only for those who are best friends with Jesus. So let me ask you, what do you want most in the world? To be a singer like Steve, to have a fancy boat, or all your friends can play on, the giant house, a famous aeroplane, or a rocket? Or is it to be best friends with Jesus? Because that is the only way you can get into heaven. And that's why Jesus wanted that most. Cheers, guys. Back to you at church.
Well, thank you, Glenn, for that. At this stage, we're now going to listen to the Bible being read from Psalm 34. This Bible reading will be made without comment, so please grab a Bible at this point, whether that's a physical Bible or you look it up on your phone or iPad or something like that. And Wana, one of the members of this local church, is going to read that to us now.
Psalm 34 of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Amen.
Thanks, Juana. Now, one of the big differences we believe it makes for being a Christian in difficult days like the coronavirus is that we can pray. We believe that through the name and the work of the Lord Jesus, that we can speak to the God who made us. Yesterday, as a church, we spent the day praying for the needs of our community, for the needs of our world, and we're going to continue doing that this morning, right now. If you'd like to join in with me in praying what I pray, then just at the end, just say, Amen. It means I agree. So let's all pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the words of Scripture that say, you are near to all who call on you. Please help each of us to call on you in these difficult days. At this time, we ask for your mercy on our world and on our nation. We pray that in your mercy, you would slow the progress of COVID-19, that you would end the spread of this horrible virus. Lord, we especially lift to you our government and those in authority who are making big decisions at the moment about how to tackle the virus and how to bring our nation out of this lockdown. Please give them great wisdom and help in this task. We particularly pray for Boris Johnson, that you would sustain him as he continues to recover from the virus and as he supports his family and little baby born this week. We want to pray for our NHS as well and all those on the front line. Please would you protect them. Please grant them all the energy and equipment they need in their work. We pray for those we know who are in this position. Please give them perseverance and a compassion towards others. Lord, each of us will be affected in different ways by this virus. We pray for those especially finding it tough being on their own or battling with anxiety or depression. Help them to keep calling out to you, trusting that you will not forsake them. For families, Lord, we commit to you those who are now homeschooling. Please provide them with wisdom and great patience. And for those who are worrying about older relatives they can no longer physically be with, please help and comfort them at this time. Heavenly Father, we also want to pray for those who are grieving at the moment, for those who have lost loved ones. Lord, it just feels so wrong for people to grieve at a distance without the closeness of family around them. Please, would you bring comfort to all those who are feeling the weight of this grief today, for all those that we know. As the weeks roll on, we want to remember too those who will be hit hardest financially. For those struggling today, would you fill them with your peace and would you provide all that they need? Help us as a church to be generous towards others as you have been generous to us. Like our Lord Jesus, help us to look to the needs of others before our own needs. Above all, Lord, we pray that many at this time would see the frailty of this world and turn to you, the only one who never changes and whose word is always true. Lord, hear our prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at this point in our service, we're going to watch an interview made earlier this week where I caught up with Matt, a member of the local church, and asked him a couple of questions. Asked him what impact the coronavirus has had on him and his work and family, but also what difference being a Christian has made at this time. Well, thanks, Matt, for agreeing to be interviewed. Just to start with, what impact has the coronavirus had on you over these kind of last 4 or 5 weeks?
Well, I guess that, coronavirus is changing people's lives all over the world, and it's been no different really for my family, Tim. I work full time. That's usually from an office in South London, but it's now from home in Enfield. Heidi, my wife, and I, we've got 2 young children who are very energetic, like the outdoors. They like to be busy. And one's just starting to walk, and the other one is very, very active. So getting used to the new normal has its challenges. So I guess being indoors, nursery school being closed, balancing the needs of family and getting work done. I'm working on the COVID response for 2 councils from home virtually, but also sort of trying to help and having concerns, staying in touch with sort of family and friends, many of them who live by themselves, might be in a small flat, got sort of different needs, might be lonely or more sort of practical needs. So that's had a big impact, both here at home, but also sort of with sort of wider people that we know. But positives too, it's been nice. We're thankful to have that extra time with family, and our small grow group has continued to meet and do Bible study and pray, and so is the 3D men's Bible study group. So there's been positives too.
Yeah. You mentioned your work. So has your work changed a lot? Obviously you're now working at home. What's that dynamic been like for you?
Well, not normally work would be sort of face-to-face contact, going to meetings in person, or speaking to community and voluntary groups and faith groups in the areas that I work. But now it's sort of sat at a desk in one of the bedrooms at home. There's a lot of sort of meetings by Zoom or similar. So there's less contact, and it does make things quite tricky, and for a lot of my colleagues can find that quite uncomfortable as well, that it's not for everyone doing things by video conferencing. So I think there's a lot of different challenges that with this new way of living and working that people are finding.
Now, I imagine lots of people watching this will be saying, well, yes, I'm working from home as well, I can relate to that. Perhaps they've got kids as well, and they know the difficulties of kids, running in the room and you're on a conference call or something like that. But I guess the question as we're thinking through the service is, well, what difference then does being a follower of Jesus make at a time like this with all the changes that it's brought? What difference does it make?
Well, I guess that, as a Christian, it's hugely reassuring that we know that God is in control and the coronavirus is not in command. So, God is stronger than the coronavirus. Just in Matthew's gospel and in Mark's gospel, which we've been, doing on a Tuesday night, we, as a church, we see that, God has authority over sickness and commands the wind and the rain and everything else. So, I mean, we can turn to him at any time, including in trials such as this and seemingly impossible situations. Also that, God knows our needs and meets our needs. So we can come to him and talk to him, whether it's through prayer. We also, we know that God has a plan. He's perfectly wise, and although sometimes it doesn't make sense to us what's going on, he's working out his wise purposes through difficult situations. I think that it's just that times are difficult, and there is suffering and there's sickness, but the Lord knows what we need. He loves and cares for us as his children. And, you know, even in the really sort of bleakest and darkest times, whether it's bereavement or difficulties that we go through, a lot of people, you know, I'm coming across in my work are suffering really real poverty. But we have a savior in Jesus, and we don't have to be afraid. We don't even have to be afraid to die, you know, whether that's coronavirus or anything else, because, you know, Jesus died and he rose from the dead, and he changed that death from punishment into the sort of doorway to everlasting happiness. You know, we can look, if we repent and turn to the Lord Jesus and trust in him, to eternity with our savior. So that's, you know, hugely reassuring. Of course, it is a real concern what we are going through as a country, but we have a God who is strong, you know, strong enough to make everything turn out for good. So that is, as a follower of Jesus, is hugely reassuring.
Yeah, Matt, thank you for that. So as you said, you know, as a Christian, you're not immune from all the difficulties that the coronavirus has brought. But as you've helpfully shared, actually, there's much hope of being a Christian. So thank you for that. And thanks for your time. I'm sure you're sick of Zoom calls and things like that. So thank you for your time.
Well, in response to all that we've heard this morning, we're now going to listen to a song. This song is called Christ My Hideaway. And it's been written in response to the coronavirus and based on the words from Psalm 91. Please feel free to join in at home if you know it or would like to. But otherwise, just listen to the words and watch the lyrics on the screen. After this, Nathan, one of the other pastors, will bring the main Bible reading for today.
I would dwell with you. shall not have the victory while the Lord is at my side. God liberates my Savior. I no longer fear the grave. God liberates my Savior. I no longer fear the grave. Through this fragile life and evermore, Christ will be my hideaway.
Good morning. My name's Nathan. I'm also one of the pastors here at Enfield Town Community Church. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We've set ourselves a question to answer this morning, and that question is, what difference does it make, if any, being a follower of the Lord Jesus during this time of the coronavirus? Now, I want to start really by trying to answer that by saying, well, there are some things that are no different. Certainly not immune from getting the virus. As a church family, there are people here that are feeling the effects of the virus in the same way that everybody else is. We're not immune from its effects. We're feeling the pinch financially, some of us. We're feeling the effects of being locked down, the struggles, the mental health issues. As followers of Jesus, we're certainly not immune from those things. So what difference is there, if any? Well, to help us to try and understand something of the difference that it makes to be a follower of the Lord Jesus, I'd like to take us this morning to a portion of the Bible. It's found in the New Testament. It's found in a letter that was written to a baby church, one of the early churches, around 60 AD. It's Colossians chapter 1 and verses 1 to 8. The words will appear on the screen if you don't have a Bible, but listen into this letter. And as I read, I want to see if you can spot three things, three attributes, three distinctives of followers of Jesus that mark them out as they journey through life, including difficult times. So I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1 and verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Did you spot the three things as I read? Three distinctives of being a Christian, of being a follower of Jesus? Well, let me point them out to you. The three things are that followers of Jesus have faith, they have love, and they have hope. And I want to show you this morning that these three things that belong to followers of Jesus make the world of difference as we find ourselves going through the very same things that our world is going through at this time. Now, you might say to me, well, hang on a minute. Faith, love, and hope, are they uniquely Christian? Doesn't everybody have those things in some measure? Are they uniquely Christian? The answer is no. But what I hope to show you today is that it's the who and the how and the what of faith, love, and hope that make Christians different, distinctive. That means we've got something in these times that make us different from the world. And all I want to do this morning is just work through those three things, work through faith and love and hope. And as I do so this morning, I hope that some of these things, going through these things, will remind some of you listening and watching this morning what it is that we have as followers of Jesus. What it is that can really make a difference to us in this time of the coronavirus. And for those of you who are listening in who don't have those things, who wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, I hope that as we work through these three things from this portion of the New Testament, that they might compel you to want them, to want these things that followers of Jesus have, faith, love, and hope. Now this morning, I actually want to start at the end of the list. I would like to start this morning with hope, and it will become clear why as we go through. And so here's the first thing, the first difference that it makes being a Christian, a follower of Jesus during the coronavirus. First of all, followers of Jesus have hope. In verse 5, if you've got a Bible, you can look at that. If not, then just hear these words. In verse 5, having thanked God for the faith and love that are in these early Christians, he then says that the faith, these are faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. Followers of Jesus have a heavenly hope. They have something that they're looking forward to in the future, something they're waiting for. It's described as stored up. It's described as reserved for them, something they're hoping for. As I've chatted to people on the phone, both friends in the church here, but also friends more widely, there's a phrase, this word hope gets used a lot in the conversations I have. Maybe you've used the phrase a lot too. You might have said, I hope this will be over soon. As I've chatted to medical friends, they've said things like, well, I really hope that the PPE that we've got works. Or they're saying, I hope that the PPE we've got arrives on time. I'm sure that many of us may have thought to ourselves, I hope the government knows what they're doing. I hope that they're making the right calls. I suspect that you may have used the word or thought of hope in those kind of terms. We tend to use the word hope with a sort of a vague uncertainty. We tend to use it as wishful thinking. I hope this happens. But it's kind of underpinned with a sort of a sense of doubt. It might not happen. Now, for followers of Jesus, is heaven in that category? When we talk about something we hope for, do we mean it in that sense, that a sort of it's a wishful thinking? There's a group of people who are wishfully thinking that there's something better to come. wishfully thinking that there is something on the horizon that may come, but we're not quite sure. Well, I want to say to you, no, it's not wishful thinking. The way that the New Testament uses the word hope, the way that it's used even in this letter, the hope stored up for you in heaven, comes with a far more certain sense than we use it. Far more confident in its meaning. Followers of Jesus are confidently and assuredly looking forward to something, a reality that will be realized in heaven. One writer, as he speaks about this letter of Colossians, calls it the ultimate future. It's a great phrase, isn't it? The ultimate future. The confident assurance of vaster blessings in store for followers of Jesus in the world to come. Now, what is this hope? What are followers of Jesus hoping for? Well, you'd have to read on in the letter to find out a bit more about it. But later on, in chapter 1 and verse 27, he calls it the hope of glory. And as the New Testament kind of fleshes that out and pieces this future together, it really describes it as eternal life. Life that is not marred and marked by the brokenness that all of us know, that even now we're experiencing in our world. This hope, you could call, is it the world that we all want, the world that our heart aches for every time somebody we love dies, or somebody we know gets sick, or another relationship falls apart. See, followers of Jesus have that hope. A world, a better world, a fixed world, an eternal world, hope of glory. That is our certainty. That is what we are looking forward to. And it's certain. It's not wishful thinking. It is certain because it is grounded on facts, not on fiction. See, listen again to verse 5 in the part of the New Testament we read. He talks about the faith and the love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. The hope that we have flows from and is grounded in the facts of the gospel. The historical true facts of the gospel. Now, this word gospel is not really a word we use other than perhaps around churches today, but it means a big announcement. It's a world-changing announcement. So, you know, let's imagine this for a moment, but if we use this word today, not just for gospel choirs or for something coming out of church, but if we use this word, if somebody found a vaccine to the coronavirus, if somebody had found a successful solution, now that would be gospel. We would say that is a world-changing announcement right now. We have found a solution. And a gospel message, the gospel, the message that holds out this hope, the message that he's talking about here is the message of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the world-changing announcement of Jesus Christ. And it's this gospel, it's this announcement that holds out hope to the world. The hope of this future. And that's why Paul, in verse 6, if you've got a Bible in front of you, he describes it as a message of God's grace. Because God, through the sending of Jesus into this world, is gifting to this world something that we don't deserve. See, this is not the future that any of us have a right to. Ever since humanity turned its back on God, walked away from him, we have no right to that kind of life. Hope, hope is grounded in the facts of the gospel of Jesus. The fact that Jesus Christ has made peace with God through his blood shed on the cross. Chapter 1 and verse 20. That through his blood shed on the cross, he is reconciling us to God with whom we have fallen out. And it is in that message, those truths, those historical truths about Jesus who was crucified and raised to life, that this hope is held out to us. That this hope is not wishful thinking, but a solid reality. It's a hope that is offered to all, as Paul puts it in these early verses, to all who hear and who understand God's grace in all its truth. What difference does being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, make during the coronavirus? What difference does it make to people like us as death draws near, as the struggles press in? Well, the answer is we have hope. We have the hope of glory, the hope reserved for us in heaven, something certain to look forward to. You see, my hope as a follower of Jesus is not just a world where the coronavirus has passed, but when we're just waiting for the next thing to come. No, my hope as a follower of Jesus is stored up in heaven. It is the hope of glory. It is the hope of a world with no viruses, with no death, with no sickness. And it is grounded on the facts of Jesus in history. Do you have that hope? Is that what you're looking forward to? Not with a vague uncertainty, but with solid assurance. Won by Christ on the cross, confirmed by his resurrection. Followers of Jesus have hope. Real hope. Solid hope. Something to look forward to. Now you might react to that and say, well, okay, Nathan, that's great. But how does that help me now? Coronavirus is a now problem. How does that help me? Well, I want to show you that for followers of Jesus, it really does help us with the now. Listen again to verse 5. In verse 5, as having thanked God for their faith and their love, he says that that is the faith and the love that springs from the hope which is stored up for them in heaven. Knowing their future gives birth to present realities, present behavior. Hope gives birth to love, faith, sorry. And here is the second thing that we're going to think about, the second difference. Followers of Jesus have faith in Jesus. See, listen to verse 3 and 4. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. When we first went into lockdown as a country, on that first Wednesday evening, over 10 million households tuned in to watch the Prime Minister give his daily briefing. And then apparently a further 3 million were watching on a dedicated news channel. Now, just to put that in perspective, for those of you who like TV, probably one of the most watched programs on TV, Call the Midwife or whatever it's called, I've forgotten, was only about 6 million people. Now, what does that show us? It shows us that in a trial, in difficulties, we look for leadership. We look for someone to trust. We look for someone who's going to lead us and take us somewhere out of the crisis. Now, because followers of Jesus are confident of what Jesus will do, that is hope, we can trust him for what he is doing now. Faith. See how the two are linked? See, first, We trust Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus for a place in that future that he's promised. I will not be there. I have no part in that future without him. That's what the gospel declares to me. My hopes now are pinned on him. The future shapes me now. I trust Jesus. But I don't just trust him for a place in that future. I also trust Jesus to get me there, to help me, to sustain me, to keep me, to navigate me through any crisis that comes into my life, whether he allows me to get the virus or not, whether it affects my bank account or not. I trust Jesus to navigate me to that certain future that he's promised that is ours if we trust him. What difference does it make being a follower of Jesus? We have faith. Or we're learning to have faith, perhaps is a better way to put it. Not in ourselves, not in our government, as good a job as they might be doing, but in Jesus. You see, as I look forward as a follower of Jesus to what Jesus will do, I'm learning to trust what Jesus is doing now, right now, even in the middle of the coronavirus. There is someone I can lean on. There is someone I can look to. There is someone I can trust with my very life, with a proven record. Can I ask you this morning, where is your faith in this crisis? In whom have you put your faith in this crisis? The gospel, these reliable facts, calls us to put our faith in Jesus. Our faith in him for a place in that future. A faith in him to navigate us to that future. To keep us in whatever trial may come across our path. Hope, a certainty about the future, gives birth to faith in the present. It's a now thing. I trust Jesus now because I'm sure of what he will do in the future. But hope doesn't just give birth to faith. Hope also gives birth to love. And here's the third distinctive we see of the follower of Jesus in all walks of life, all times of life, but especially perhaps in crisis. The third thing is that followers of Jesus have love like Jesus. Look again with me just at verse 3 and 4. Let me read that to you. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. I guess like you, we have seen and we have observed and admired many acts of remarkable love during this time of the coronavirus. Now, please don't misunderstand me this morning. I am certainly not standing here and saying that followers of Jesus are the only ones who are loving at this time. Far from it. But there is something we need to understand that is different about the way followers of Jesus love or are called to love. Being sure about the future, being sure about what's coming, feeling secure and at peace about what's coming, liberates the way that I love today. Who I love, how I love. You see, those of us who have been loved by Jesus, you know, loved enough to have been granted a place in this future that is coming, this hope of glory, to have been gifted that by Jesus, to have been treated like that by Jesus. Those loved by him will learn to love like him in this world. And what kind of love is that? It is a love that is willing to sacrifice everything for someone else. See, the hope of glory liberates the way I love. I am free to love at cost to myself. I am free to love people who aren't like me. And that's the church. The church is Jesus saving people all over the world, coming together. And I'm free to love people sacrificially. I'm free to love as I have been loved. Hope gives birth to love. And hope, the hope held out to us in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, creates a community of people who love like Jesus even in a time of crisis. And I stand here as a pastor of a church to say that is something I have seen and experienced over the last weeks in a remarkable way. What difference does it make right now, being a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, during this time of coronavirus? For a follower of Jesus, we are part of a community that is learning to love the way that Jesus has loved us. We are learning to love with grace. And I want to say to you that that is a beautiful thing to be part of. That is community, really, like you'll never find it anywhere else. And so what difference? Let's stand back for a moment. Where have we come to with this question that we set out to answer? What difference does it make to be a follower of Jesus during the coronavirus? Or actually, we could expand that and to say any crisis. Any difficulty, whether it's a personal difficulty or a global difficulty like we're experiencing. Three things. A follower of Jesus has hope. We have something to look forward to. It's not wishful thinking, but it is a certain future grounded in the facts of what Jesus came into this world to do. We have faith. Faith in Jesus. We trust him with our life. We trust him for a place in that future. We trust him with our life to navigate us to that future, to get us through whatever he calls us to face. And we have love. We are learning to love like Jesus. Selfless love. Can I ask you this morning, aren't these things that you want during the coronavirus or any crisis? Don't you want something to look forward to? Don't you want someone to trust with your life, someone you can believe in and pin your hopes on? Don't you want someone to love? Don't you want someone to love you? Friends, these are the gifts that are held out to us by God in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 tells us that all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing as it has been doing amongst you since the day you heard it. Friends, the gospel is producing faith, love, and hope all over the world. And my question for you this morning is, will you believe that gospel? Have you understood God's grace to us in Jesus? Will you take hold of the hope that is held out to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why not do that now? And if you don't feel ready to do that now, then why not join us on Thursday night for our Christianity Explored course? But if you want to do it now, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to pray that, you just say amen at the end. And then you too could experience these three wonderful things that Christians, that followers of Jesus have in the present, in these times of crisis. Faith, love, and hope. Let me pray as we finish. Lord Jesus, these are uncertain times that you have brought us face to face with. Father, they expose our weakness and our helplessness as humans. We thank you that, Lord Jesus, by your blood shed on the cross, you offer us peace with God and the hope of glory to come. Please forgive me and reconcile me to God. Grow me in faith in Jesus and love for your people as you make me certain about the future hope in this time of the coronavirus. Amen. Well, thanks so much for listening. We're going to sing a song in just a few moments. The words will come up on the screen. The music will play. Can I just say to you today that if you did kind of commit yourself in some way, if you did pray that prayer, then please share that with someone. That's such a vital part of becoming a follower of Jesus. Share with someone what you prayed, what you've come to understand about Jesus this morning. If you want someone to do that with, please contact the church office and we'd love to help you. But we're going to sing In Christ Alone.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Just a few little bits of information before we end. Firstly, if you joined us for the first time today and you'd like to know more about this certain Christian hope, then let me encourage you to join us again online on Thursday for Christianity Explored. It's a great opportunity for you to explore the Christian faith, to bring some questions, and to explore that a little bit more. If that interests you, then please get in contact with us via our website or phone the church office. Some more details will appear on the screen at the end of our service. Please also check our website for resources to help you during the lockdown. There's some information on there, some helpful articles to read, and also some things you can be doing with the kids at this time. Also, this Tuesday, there'll be another talk to download, to listen to pray through with others. So please watch out for that. As always, if you've been watching this online on your own, then why not pick up the phone and phone someone and just speak about the things that we've been hearing this morning? Why not pray with someone? And just finally, if there's anything we can be praying for you at this time, then please do get in contact with us as a church. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to be praying for you. Why don't I pray as we end? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thanks again for watching.